You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
In recently released research from the Child Poverty Action Group, the research shows low-income families below the income floor are struggling to pay for bare essentials. Below the income floor refers to the minimum income needed to live and belong. I spoke to Isaac Gunson, a spokesperson from the organization, about these findings. What does this research show that previous research is not showing?
What this research shows is that more and more the incomes for low-income households are simply not keeping up. We've managed to model 39 different kinds of households with varying levels of income. It's very thorough, and the next steps that we're going to take is using integrated data infrastructure, IDI data from the government, which it plans to use to replace things like the census, to really get a sense of, now that we've modelled the households, how many households across Aotearoa fit into each of the categories and models that we've done.
Have benefits and wage increases made much of an impact to low-income households, especially amidst the cost of living crisis?
We saw a real big impact with the 2022 wellbeing budget, but unfortunately what we've seen in the years since is a lot of those gains have been lost in terms of the purchasing power of low-income households' income. And what our projections are is that that's simply going to get worse and leave families and low-income households worse off.
The research fleshes out the modelling of the Welfare Expert Advisory Group, or WEAG, looking at 39 different low-income households across the past 8 years. In 2018, we saw the Child Poverty Reduction Act come into play. How much of an impact has this framework had on the 39 households in this research?
Look, you can almost sort of, it's almost a mirror, right? So, you know, in the same period of time that we were watching child poverty rates decrease, we were watching income adequacy for those low-income households increase. Now, child poverty rates are back, you know, on the rise, and income adequacy is declining once again. So there's a very clear mirror when it comes to how this income inadequacy is affecting the number of children who are experiencing material hardship.
And what outcomes are we seeing for children in this research?
The models show that more and more children are going to have to go without. Now, whether that's without maybe a school trip a year, or maybe that's without internet access at their homes, because the deficits that these households are in when it comes to, you know, income versus expenses is, you know, in some cases it's a hundred or more dollars a week. And so what that's leaving parents with is the really tough decisions. You know, do we run the heaters this month? Can we afford to run the heaters? Do we need to cancel our internet plan so that we can afford the power? And all of that is going to have an impact not just on the well-being and the upbringing of children, but also their ability to participate in society meaningfully as a child. You know, you think about a lot of the things that a lot of us take for granted, having access to things like the internet, really important for homework, research, but also like just staying in contact with friends and family that you don't live with. Having to make a choice that could mean not having internet access at home so that you can, you know, start to make ends meet a little bit closer, that's going to have a long-lasting effect on tamariki as they grow up, because it essentially excludes them from a really important part of society, and that is the real shame of these tough decisions that families are having to make.
What would Child Poverty Action Group like to see in this space?
So this research is centred around the idea of the income floor. So any families who are below the income floor, simply not making enough. And our research shows most of the modelled households are below that income floor. We're calling on the government to rebase incomes back up to the floor. You know, it's nothing super duper fancy. We're just saying the bare minimum to, you know, pay for core essentials, so housing, power, and basic food, and then participatory costs. So, you know, those school trips every now and then, being part of a sports team, any of those extracurricular activities that help children develop, and also, you know, their participation leads to prevention, really, of worsening statistics. Because the best way to help a child's outcomes is to increase their parents' incomes.
You have briefly touched on this, but what is next for this research project?
The models that we've done so far help us to standardise the picture. The next phase is going through the government's IDI data and taking those model households and mapping them onto the reality of Aotearoa so that we know exactly how many households are in this model deficit or perhaps in another case, in this model surplus. But the core fact remains the majority of the different kinds of households on those low incomes that we've modelled trending down and pretty universally will be worse off next year than they are this year. Every child that we can lift above the income floor is a prevention success that we can measure. And, you know, at the end of the day, whatever it may cost now to lift those incomes to a livable level, there's nothing next to the cost that we will see borne out across our health system, our education system, and our justice system if we don't solve this problem now.
That was the spokesperson for the Child Poverty Action Group, Isaac Gunson, on the organisation's recently released research.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.